Welcome back to another episode of Moms Unbothered. I am Kate and this is Jordan. And today we have a very special guest. It is Christine from Holistic Homes. You've probably seen me repost her on Instagram a million times. I am obsessed with her page. It is talks about all things non-toxic for building a home or renovating a home. I'm really excited to bring her on. She is actually who I hired to help me build my home, and she's a wealth of knowledge. So Christine, why don't you introduce yourself and give us a little background?
Yes, thank you. And I'm so excited to be working with you. It's going to be a really beautiful project, but a healthy one. That is priority number one. So I am a licensed general contractor here in California, but instead of just making a difference by one here locally, I began branching out to do more consulting work on projects all around the US because contractors need help building healthy homes. And I feel like it is a pretty basic human need to be able to live in a home that is not going to be making us sick. Unfortunately, that is not the norm with new construction these days. So I'm here to help. And I experienced what that all feels like maybe over 12, 13 years ago now, when it was the very first home I ever purchased. I was so excited. I was in my 20s at the time. And I purchased a property that was going to be like an income generating property. So it needed a little bit of love. I knew going into it at the time we were going to do a major overhaul of it. But I thought I did everything right with having the realtor on my side. I had the home inspection. When it came back, there was really nothing wrong with the property, but the inspector pointed out that there was like a little bit of mold under the kitchen sink. And so my response in going through like the negotiations was, all right, have that remediated, and we'll, you know, continue on. So everything closed and we go in to actually demolish the kitchen. And I get a call that everything had to stop because what was actually behind the kitchen cabinets, like floor to ceiling on every wall of the kitchen, was just covered in like pink, black, purple, like the worst mold still that I've ever seen. And I was just at a loss. I was pretty devastated. And going back, like, what happened here? There was a little bit of mold under the kitchen sink and I thought it was remediated. Well, the seller at the time remediated it by painting over it. So there was...
Is that legal?
Not quite legal. You also in a real estate transaction need to like disclose if you know of any water damage, but you know, who's to say if they knew about it or not. So that was a very devastating and big learning lesson. But what ended up happening there, and you know, I feel strongly the seller did not actually know what was going on because nothing was visible. Like you could be in the kitchen cooking, like there was not mold all along the backsplash, but this was all happening behind the wall. And it was happening because a second level drain line that was running down that kitchen wall had a crack in it. So anytime somebody showered, used the toilet, used the sink, anything, it just basically was like pouring water into that kitchen wall. So I was already in the construction industry at that time, very much on my own, like health and wellness, like eating good quality foods at the time, knowing that like, this can't be happening. Like things are not just so obvious. It's not always just like, you know, the water pouring through the second level ceiling. So that's when I knew like we got to do better here. And that's what we've been doing ever since.
That's awesome. I feel like it like nobody would think, or at least nobody I know is when they're purchasing a home is thinking like, we got to do a mold inspection. We got to make sure that there was no previous leaks. Like I've purchased three homes now and those were never things that like realtors were telling me or my inspector was telling me. Like, nobody was looking for that stuff. And I kind of ran into the same problem as you. I purchased a house the day we moved in to have painters come. I realized that the entire upstairs bathroom was covered in black mold. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, I have to fix this? Like, I can't, like, nobody's going to help me do this. Like, I purchased this and now it's my problem. And we spent like $10,000 remediating it. But then we moved out because I was like, I no longer feel comfortable because if there's mold there, I'm sure there's mold, you know, elsewhere. So it's scary to purchase homes now.
Big issue. And there's estimates that there's different estimates, but somewhere around like 50% of homes have some level of water damage. But the thing is, a question I get is like, okay, well, if mold is so prevalent in homes, why isn't everyone just so sick all the time? Well, one, we are pretty sick. Like most people are pretty sick today. But also everyone responds differently. And I'm sure you like talk about like your toxic bucket and, you know, our overload, the food that we're eating, our exposures at work, exposures at school. Like some of us, yes, should be able to like handle a little bit of a mold exposure here and there. Now, since many of us are at home much more than we used to be, and mold is a bit more rampant in new construction homes than they ever have been before, it's becoming a bit more of a burden on our toxic bucket.
What's the best way to find mold? I mean, like, I know there's people that come out, but I've also seen the dogs that come sniff for mold. What's your favorite method of mold finding?
Well, I very much come in after the remediation, or ideally before there's ever an issue at all. So the mold inspection part and the remediation part, you know, it's not my field specifically in dealing with the mold, but I don't see it as like a one and done type of solution. Like discovering mold, remediating it, and then like feeling safe in your home, just like you said. So I would say it's important to like first evaluate what like your goals are, whether you're like purchasing a home or doing a new build, because not everyone has the desire or budget to do a new build. So if you're going to be purchasing a home, which is like purchasing someone's like existing home that they've been living in, breathing in, you know, maybe had spills on the floor, or when the washing machine overflowed, they felt like it wasn't a big deal, so they're not disclosing it. It's not always negligence. It's just different ways of living. So if, you know, that's the desire, then yeah, do really like thorough testing, investigating, mold testing of an existing home. But if the desire is to like, we want to like dial this in, we want to have oversight, we want to know like what we're building and the quality of it, then that's where doing a new build has a lot of value. But unfortunately, new builds are primarily built to like construction or building code standards. And building code standards are really like the baseline. That is like the bare minimum that homes should be built to. But we want to make it better so that it can be a healthy home.
Yeah. So
go ahead.
I was just going to say, you were blowing my mind when the first call that Christine did with like my builders, who I have like amazing builders. They're like the best in my city. But like, it was just insane the questions that Christine was asking them that I would have never thought to have asked in a million years. Like just like basic questions that were going to set me up for so much success for like making sure that I'm not having, you know, unnecessary leaks or protecting me from like, okay, if there is a leak, like we're going to be detected for it. And just like, she was blowing my mind at the things that most people don't think of. Like, no one is really, I feel like anyone who is going through, even just going to buy a home, is never thinking like, we need to be looking out for mold, or we need to be looking out for leaks, or asking these families or realtors, like, is there a history of leaks? Or it's just, it's crazy that those are never really our first thoughts. It's more like the aesthetic of the home. Like, do I vibe with how the home looks inside and not like the health of the home?
Yeah. And it's the biggest purchase that many of us are like ever making. We like vet our vehicles and maintain them. And we've got like, you know, our car has this like beautiful dashboard that tells us if we need to go take it in or we need to get gas or the tire's low. Like, we know everything that's going on with our cars. We take it in at, you know, 45,000 miles to get like the last checkup before the warranty expires. Nobody's doing any of that with our homes and just kind of hoping for the best. And which is why so much goes undetected, because we don't have monitors in place that will tell us like if there is a plumbing line leak. We don't have indoor air quality management to tell us if, you know, carbon monoxide is high and we're just, you know, wondering why do we always have a headache? Like, we should really be very well informed with what's going on within our homes, maintenance, warranties, like all of this stuff, because it's a very big expense.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know you come in after the fact normally, but like for the average home buyer, are there any red flags they can look for when they're walking through these homes, new or used?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely walking in, there's a lot of inspections that should be taking place that I find homeowners are like hesitant or afraid to do. Like, oh, we don't want to do that. We don't want to like be the weird buyer that's like asking for these inspections. But my goodness, in some cases, you're like spending $1 million, $2 million, maybe even $500,000 on a home. And you should know what's going on with that home, if there are issues. So red flags, yes, can be like a very high humidity. Like, the humidity in your home ideally should be around 50%-ish. If you're having trouble controlling that humidity and it's just really elevated, there could be signs that there's something going on within the home. Indoor air quality, like if, you know, the indoor air quality is really poor, that could be a sign. But I think in those like initial stages when maybe you're showing up at an open house and you don't want to come with like your whole bag of tricks, doing moisture testing all around the house, just visually inspecting like below every sink. Does there seem to be like evidence of a repair down there because of maybe a drain or sink leaking? But doing a lot of just visually inspecting, like from the bottom up, looking up all the time in closets and storage areas, just to see if you see anything that looks like it might have been like a big repair or a potential issue.
That's good. So what do you think, like, let's say someone purchases a house and they realize like, oh no, there's mold in this house. Like, I need to do remediations. And they can't necessarily afford to do like the full thing. Is there any like smaller bits and pieces people could do who like really just don't have the budget to be fixing their home?
And that's a big percentage of people also, because a lot of people are renting. So They could be in a rental that they discover has an issue, and maybe the landlord says, well, that's not that big of an issue. Or, you know, that you don't have the means to like make repairs to your home or to your rental. That is a really difficult situation to be in, because I very strongly believe you can't air purify your way out of a toxic home. Like, right. It can certainly help, but it's not a means to address the root cause, which is really where the solution comes in. Even with mold inspecting of a home that you do own, like if they're coming in and just doing like air sampling or doing like a dust type of sample, that may give you some results, but that doesn't tell you the root cause. Like, that doesn't tell you the source of where the issue is. So many people go through this costly remediation and then it's not successful because the root cause was never addressed. Maybe the second level leak was never addressed, or that there's a window that's allowing water to come in every time it rains. So anytime someone is going to invest in investigating into their issue within their home, the goal has got to be to find the root cause.
So you, I know you said you touched on like the air purifiers. Is there a specific brand though that you do like for air purifiers? Mm-hmm. If someone is saying like, that's all I can do right now.
Yeah.
Is there a brand?
I don't have like one that I think is like gonna like do a significantly better job than the other.
Yeah.
I do see a lot recommended online, and I, again, being in like the construction space, wanting to get it right from the beginning, I do really put emphasis on having whole home air filtration. So I know there's like the Air Doctors and the IntelliPures, there's Air Oasis. There's a lot of like the Jasper, I know, is another one that's coming out a lot. I don't really know which one is the best.
Yeah.
I really think whatever you can afford budget-wise is going to be the best, because I have seen people spend, if you get enough air doctors, right, for like each room, that's easily like $1,000, $2,000. And if that's pushing somebody outside of their budget, I don't think that's a wise choice. I think like do what you can with your budget. And then maybe it makes more sense to like have an air purifier, but also have like a standalone dehumidifier that's helping with humidity. So those types of, and I hate to call them this, but like those Band-Aid type of solutions, I just don't want to push anyone outside of their comfort zone in those. And I'm not sure on like all of the various testing, but if we have an opportunity to like get it right from the start, like in your case, where we're able to like collaborate and work together early on in the design stage of the project, that's where we can like really dial in the mechanical system, put in maybe a whole home dehumidifier or whole home air filtration to make sure that there's not a big issue within the ductwork down the road.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Again, like when the first call that Christine did with my builders, I was just mind blown, because I'm like, I was thinking of all the people who have gone through the home building process and have spent all this money on super nice homes, but like not the health of the home. And I think Christine kind of gave me like a really big mind switch when she was like, you want, like, yes, you want a nice home, but you want to be prioritizing putting money into the health of your home. And it makes so much sense, because we're in our homes 99% of the time, right? Like, and especially me, like I work from home, so like I'm really never leaving. So I think it's just something kind of like when people need to prioritize food and like budgeting for healthy food, like it's the same kind of with homes essentially, right? Like you need to be budgeting for the health of your home, not just like the aesthetic looking of your home.
And that's the most challenging part, is because building a new home is pricey. Like that is a very big investment. And unfortunately, like, and this could relate to food too, but like building a home, you know, if you were to go to a builder and say, you know, I want to build this new home, I want it 3,500 square feet, I want this, this, and this, can you give me like some sort of estimate or per square foot cost? And the builder's response is 99% of the time going to give you a price for like a basic, what they've been doing for 30 years, like what they know to be building, you know, a healthy home. That's not going to get you to a healthy home, because every home needs to be like unique to your family, the way that you live, how many occupants are in that home. You know, just so many different factors. The cookie cutter house building is not going to lead to a successful home. And that just takes a lot of like relearning for the client's expectations, like as building a home, but also on the builder side of things, because everyone's very mindful of budget when it comes to building a home. But there are things that really need to be deep considerations, what I call are like one time, like one and done type of things. When building a home, yes, the exterior is beautiful, but you only have one opportunity to build your foundation or pour your build your basement or pour your foundation. Like, basements are notorious for having like water intrusion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because they went with basically one layer of waterproofing on the exterior. Well, that basement's not going to withstand 50, 100 years with that one layer of waterproofing, but nobody's going to like remove all the soil and waterproof their basement again in 50 years. So put your money into these items that you want to like stand the test of time. The exterior has got to be able to keep water out. The basement needs to be able to, you know, withstand any sort of heavy rains and, you know, a very saturated soil. And that can be a shift for people that are really like wanting the, you know, $2,000 light fixture or like really looking at the aesthetics of it, because there may be a little bit of backing up of like, well, you know, we can only do this basement one time to get it right. But in 5 years after you're done with this renovation and settled, we could switch out that light fixture to what you really want. That's a much easier upgrade down the road, are those finishes. So let's put the money on the like important stuff.
What I'm hearing is don't have a basement.
Anything can be done in a healthy way. Like when somebody says, oh, can I do a crawl space or can I do a basement? I'm like all for, we're going to build the home that you want. Like if you want a basement, we're going to build the darn basement in the most healthy way possible, because you don't want to go through like building what's supposed to be like your dream home, sitting there thinking, I really wish I had that basement, but I was afraid to build the basement because I didn't want any water intrusion. Well, let's build the home that you want, but make it healthy.
So how do people find a builder that's like into this sort of stuff? Like what questions should they be asking them when they're approaching builders?
Good question. And that is a very common one that I get all the time of, do you have any resources in, you know, Florida, Texas? Is there a holistic builder in my area? And the answer is usually no. The answer, it's not so much the builder. Like the builder is really there to implement what is on the plans. That is the job of the builder. The builder's not the architect. They're not really there to strategize. They're incredible builders. They know how to build, but we have to like set up the plans and the design so that truly like construction can feel like smooth sailing. Like everyone should know what they're doing by the time construction is taking place. So it's really heavy on the like architect and design side of having a really dialed in set of plans, which again is not the norm. Because the standard when it comes to like hiring the architect is they're putting together a set of plans so that those plans can go to the city and get a building permit. Well, again, that's like bare minimum requirements. Like they're putting together plans just to simply pull a building permit. There's still a lot of information missing from those plans. Like a typical set of plans is going to have somewhere between like maybe 10 architectural details. That's not nearly enough. Like we need to know what is the client expecting for like the vapor retarder underneath the slab, window flashing. There should be like 5 details just on windows alone. If it's not on your plans, it is not in your contract, and that leaves it up for interpretation during construction. So that's why I see like this emphasis on like, can I get a like really, really good builder that knows like healthy home strategy? Well, a really, really good builder doesn't necessarily have to know those strategies. They just need to be given a solid set of plans that tells them what your expectations are. So I put ton more emphasis on that architectural side, which is exactly what we're doing on our end as a construction consultant, is we are collaborating with you as the homeowner and the architect saying, this client really wants to have like a solid basement. We want to beef up just that one layer of waterproofing. We want to do these other strategies too. Can you incorporate these into the plans? That is such a better way to do home building because it takes such a burden off of you as the homeowner to feel like you have to be on site, like hovering over the crew of like, did they miss that? I told them last week I wanted this. Nobody took any notes. Like, and is it actually going to happen? So dial in the plants. That's what I say.
So what about spray foam? Because I feel like this is like the new buzz around the internet. And I've seen like a couple other health accounts who are purchasing homes ask about spray foams and like, okay, what if this new build already has a spray foam in it? Like, what should I be doing? Can you tell us one, what spray foam is used for, and two, why this is like the new thing to be adding into homes?
Yeah. So spray foam, well, backing up a bit, like building code requirements, they do evolve. Like there's new additions. And over the years, in the most recent years, building code requirements and energy efficiency requirements are requiring homes to be much more airtight, like less leaky in that sense, which can be a good thing. It can also be a very bad thing if the mechanical systems and everything isn't working together. But to achieve more of an airtight home, this introduction of spray foam came to kind of be this like amazing one and done type of solution because it's good at air sealing and it's a really good insulator. There's different types of spray foam. There's open cell, there's closed cell. But this spray foam was used as, hey, we can apply this. We can put in the insulation, spray it in, and 24 hours later, like you can start hanging your drywall. So that sounds really appealing. You get air sealing, insulating, and things move faster and you can keep the project moving. But there's a lot of potential downsides to spray foam. And one is, yes, of course, the VOC element and how long does it actually off-gas. Also, spray foam, when mixing the components, that's a lot of liquid. So that is a ton of moisture that is being sprayed into your framing cavities. Where's all that moisture going? Likely being absorbed into the framing. Also, because of the properties of closed cell, it also can trap moisture. So leaks can go undetected if they're just kind of sitting behind this spray foam. There's many other potential big red flags, and there's a lot of devastating stories of like improper spray foam applications. That's really where the issues come, is from like improper application. But overall, it is a permanent application. It is not coming out. Mm-hmm. It is not like the fluffy insulation that you're used to seeing or the pink stuff that's in older homes. Spray foam is not coming out of your wall cavities. So if there's an issue, if you're going to do a renovation, if anything, you're gonna have to do like a remediation type of method to get it out. So I'm not convinced it's a wonderful solution for homes. I also think that doing something permanent like that, you know, can have other implications as well, because there are families that are reporting when they have it even installed maybe in the attic, like family starts to get sick. Well, that seems pretty risky, because if the family starts to get sick, you can't just take this insulation out and throw it away. So there's a lot of better solutions to air seal and insulate that don't require or don't have these downsides that spray foam does.
Wow, that's scary. I mean, I had no idea. And I'm sure most people have no idea. That's scary.
It's not really meant, I don't want it to be scary, but I find that there's a lack of like informing the homeowner. Here's the benefits. Here's the downsides. By the way, this is permanent. If you want it out, you're going to have to cut it out. Like nobody's really having these like educated conversations when it comes to this type of insulation. And honestly, like a lot of other areas of like building your home, it's just like, here we are, we're going to build your home, like come back in 8-10 months when your home's done and we'll hand you the keys. Like that is not going to be a successful build.
Lack of informed consent. We talk about that a lot on this podcast.
Yeah, across the board, including like building your home.
Wow. Yeah, it's definitely things you don't think about. So like what is, like in your ideal world, what would like an ideal build look like to you?
Oh, an ideal build. I think it really starts with, and I do sometimes get questions about like, how's the builder going to respond to me? Like bringing on a construction consultant, like, are they going to be okay with it? And my response is like, listen here, this is your home. You are paying this contractor a lot of money for them to provide you with a service. This is your home. And the issues arise simply when it is a lack of communication. Like you are expecting something and it's not communicated on the plans and not communicated like early enough. So there shouldn't be this fear going into building a home of, I don't know if it's going to be healthy. I have concerns. I don't know if the builder can do what I'm asking. And is the builder going to get upset with me? Like those are all things that shouldn't be occurring or on your mind during a build. Like you're paying a lot of money. And in some cases for a builder to tell you, no, I'm not going to do that. No, we don't do that. No, that's not possible. All of these things. So first realizing that like, this is your home and we need to communicate your expectations. So to answer that, like what is a healthy home? It should really first start with what is your expectations as a client? And in some cases, like you could come to me and say, our family's been very sick. We've had 3 other previous homes. All of them have had mold and we just can't do this anymore. Like we have to get this new build right. That's a large majority of my clients. Some others can say like our hierarchy, our number one is EMF mitigation. Mm-hmm. And then we focus on that. Some others like we really want clean water, clean air. It has to deal with like the hierarchy of what your goals are for that home. Because going back to the question of like, is there a healthy home builder? Yeah, there's a few of them, but their, you know, definition of what a healthy home is probably going to differ quite a bit from what yours is. So we need to like extract your expectations at the end of the project and work backwards from there on how to get you there. So in a nutshell, in a very general sense, a healthy home would be one that is not making the occupants sick. And that clean water, clean air, those are like really good fundamental needs in a home. And one that, and this is a big emphasis that I put on this whole home building process, is it's a lot of work up front. Like we are really doing a lot of heavy lifting with the architect and making sure that they are putting on the plans what the client's expecting. But even at that, like the build process can go very smoothly. You know, Mary Kate can move into her house like, and a month later there could be a leak or the washer could overflow or anything could happen. Like what safeguards do we have in place that I lovingly call like a leak management plan? What is in place so that this home that we just went through this whole process of building doesn't end up like the one that I purchased that had this undetected leak for several years? Like build a home that's easy to maintain and monitor and that you don't have these undetected catastrophes.
So we lost Mary Kate visually. Something happened with her camera, but she's still here talking. So you just won't see her now.
Sorry, guys. But technical difficulties.
Did you want to share what you thought about the doctor thing?
Yes. So Christine made a really good point, because this is exactly how I felt bringing her into my meeting with my builder. I was like nervous to tell him that, like, hey, I have an alternative way of how we're going to go about building this house. And it's like for the better of my health and my family's health. But I felt like a burden having to like tell him. And I think a lot of moms feel the same, like going into the doctor's office saying like, hey, maybe I don't want to do things exactly the way my pediatrician wants. And you like feel so much internal guilt, or like, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want them to think badly of me. And like, that's exactly how I felt like with bringing Christine in. Not that like she's such a wealth of knowledge and I absolutely want her there, but I almost felt like, is my builder going to get upset with me because I'm bringing in this extra step that most people don't do? Most people just do whatever. So I think the two just go hand in hand. Like, you really have to advocate for your health on your own, even if you feel like maybe others are going to judge or think it's a burden or just an unnecessary step, because I know that it's the right, correct, necessary step.
And it's so important to do that, like, early on, just like you did. Like, sure, things can sometimes go a little bit like sideways if it's mid-construction. It's like, hey, I'm going to bring in a construction consultant and we're going to like mix things up a bit here, like during construction. That's where some of the like frustration can come in, because they've already given you a price. There's already plans. They already ordered material. That's where the frustration is. Now, if this is like early on and we're ideally like first working with the architect, and then that like full set of complete plans that then goes out to like builder one, builder two, builder three, like all of these different builders, they know from the plans, like, oh, this family wants like a healthy home. They want things that are like above and beyond what we typically do. And if that builder, which has happened, that builder says, we're not going to bid your project, we can't do your project, how much better is it to like know that right then than if that builder had been selected and mid-construction? Because I have seen some really, really bad things happen in doing new builds, even with some incredible builders, simply because the expectation was not set early on and they signed and got into a project that maybe they shouldn't have been on.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's just so important, because you are the one doing the selecting and the hiring.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and you're paying for it.
You're paying for it. And like early on is key. I do get asked, like, kind of to your point of like, I'm kind of like nervous, like, how's my builder going to react to this? Like, and I've heard before, I need to talk to my builder first before hiring you. I hear that sometimes, which I understand and I get, but that builder is working for you. And yes, it's great to like have introductions to like all of the team members, but just kind of shifting that mindset of, you're in the driver's seat. Everyone on your team should be collaborating together to achieve what your goals are at the end of your home. Because at the end of it, like, everyone's leaving. Like, the builder is gone. This is now your home that you're left to maintain. And, you know, if there are leaks, like, that could be on you as a financial burden. So, yeah, it's important to do it early.
This is literally exactly how I felt about the pediatrician's office. Like, exactly how you said, like, okay, they're going to come, they're going to build the house, and then they're done and you're left with whatever happens. That's the same thing with, if we take our kids to the pediatrician, you're giving them the shots that maybe you don't feel good about, but they're pressuring you to, but it's not their response. Like, after your kid has reaction, it's like, okay, well, that's, you deal with it for the rest of their life. The doctor has no liability. So it's kind of the same. It's just like an uncomfortable step, but it's necessary to take, to like take control of your health and the health of your family.
Yeah.
Also, yeah.
It's just like if you're like selecting a pediatrician or like you go through somewhat of an interview process with to make sure whoever you're working with is a right fit. Mm-hmm. And I know there's like questions that we ask doctors and like, how do you feel about if we don't do this or that? And if they're like, no, you can't be a patient if you don't do this. Same thing happens with builders. And I get a lot of rogue builders in my comments, you know, the old timey ones that have like, I've been doing this for 50 mm-hmm. years. We've always done it this way. And my favorite thing to hear, not so favorite thing to hear, is when a builder will say, you know, a leak test of a window is so unnecessary. I've never in my 30 years of doing this ever been asked to leak test a window. We've never had any issues, da 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 da. And my response is always like, that's great. But how can you tell me for 30 years no window has ever leaked if you've never actually leak tested? There's no documentation confirming that. So would you like to leak test the window now during construction when it's just framing and there's not flooring and baseboards and everything else in and discover that there might be a leak now? Or would you prefer that we call you back in 5 years when now the window damaged the drywall, the insulation, the baseboards, the flooring, the everything, and you're having to fix all of that? So, you know, I'm very much an advocate for the client, but also for like a very successful project during construction. So the contractor should actually really love me.
You're teaching and them.
I don't get a ton of pushback from them once we like get started, but I'm there for like the success of the project. There's a family that's going to be living here and contractor needs to realize that.
It's even, I mean, just like, people don't want to spend money on their health now because they're healthy, but it's cheaper to spend the money now than, you know, those health bills later on down the road. A lot of similarities yeah. going on here. Okay, one more final question, and it's kind of like this might not even be in your scope of practice, but so someone's looking for land or a house or whatever. What about the like transmission lines? Are there things to avoid, like electricity poles on the property? Is that unhealthy? Like. Tell my husband that we don't want those.
That does go back to like the hierarchy of what you are wanting as a homeowner, because as much as I would love to, like, we don't have an endless budget here. So, you know, if priority number one is like mold and water damage mitigation, maybe number two is like minimizing EMF exposure. And yes, that's where the power lines and the Wi-Fi and these like smart home features come into play and how much we can like minimize that. I'm not a huge proponent of like these EMF blocking devices in the paint and all of these things to like block the EMFs. Let's just eliminate it or mitigate it by doing like, it's called Ethernet runs where we're like hardwiring the TV to the router so that it's working off of that connection and you can disable the Wi-Fi. There are a ton of devices in our home that can be connected through an Ethernet cable, like the camera doorbell, that can be an Ethernet cable. You just have to get the right devices that are compatible with that. So the first strategy would be actually hardwiring as many devices as we could. And like in the office, there's a printer, there's a computer, like all of these can be hardwired and then Wi-Fi just disabled. So there is definitely an exposure element to it. I will say like as more and more technology has gotten, you know, more prevalent in these like smart home features, I'm a fan of like, I guess a dumb home, like just give me a switch on the wall to turn the light off and on. Just, you know, give me the basic things. Like I don't need the smart dishwasher and the smart oven that's going to turn on. Like we could really do okay without those things. And those like more basic appliances like last longer too. So like a switch on the wall, that's never going to go out, but the electronic hub with all the moods and the setting, those you might need to replace. So, yeah, and it is sometimes a battle. That does seem to be one area where the husband is like, you know, Wi-Fi everything. We're going to like blow this thing out, TVs everywhere. And like, he just like really likes the device type of stuff. So that can definitely be a balance. It's a balance in my home. I don't have everything Ethernet connected, but you can also turn off your Wi-Fi in the evening. There's other things that can be done to create like balance so that everyone living there is happy.
Okay. I'm going to make him listen to this, that part specifically.
That's one of the things I'm most excited for is the Ethernet, because I feel like, yeah, how you said there's like so many smart homes or people have so many gadgets nowadays, like, and it just is a peace of mind to take that little extra step while you're building to reduce the EMF exposure. And it really does make a difference in the long run. So yeah, that I feel like that is just such an easy thing to have your builders do that makes a big difference. But also I just keep thinking, thank God I already hired Christine for this process, because it takes so much off of my plate. Cause like you already know everything. So it's not like I have to be like researching everything. Like you're already coming and telling me like, hey, you're probably going to want to do this, 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 like you know, like even how you were talking to me about like, like bedrooms or rooms in general, like if there's going to be a pipe on this wall, let's make sure, you know, the pipe for the other room is on the same wall. So if we're going to have a leak, it's just on one wall instead of two walls. Like you were just blowing my mind with just little tidbits that I would never think of, that I'm sure builders aren't thinking of. Even like the best builders, I'm sure that's just like not something that they're really, I don't know, accustomed to like thinking about or learning about. So I feel like just what you bring to the table is just priceless.
Thank you. Yeah, yes. Thank you so much. It's definitely a shift. Like we can have healthy homes that are beautiful too, but like aesthetics should not be number one. Like health of the occupants is number one in creating a healthy home. We can make it all beautiful, but it's not going to be worth anything if, you know, this new home is making anyone sick. So got to start there, which is exactly what I'm an advocate for. I just want everyone to have a healthy home in whatever capacity that they can, whether that's working with me or just like implementing some tips here and there. Overall, just having an awareness. There are so many stories. There was just one posted the other day on a page called Change the Air Foundation, where this man and his family have been living in this home, and around COVID, he got really, really sick. And the doctor told him he needed to have brain surgery because he was having seizures. They diagnosed him with epilepsy, this really devastating story. And he got so much worse during COVID because he was home so much. He went to doctor after doctor, like something like 7 traditional doctors. And they all told him, here's a handful of medication, and he just got worse and worse. And it wasn't until he went to a naturopath that said, we need to test your blood for mycotoxins, which is a result of mold exposure. And his mycotoxin level was like off the chart. He had like an organic acid test. It was so off the chart. It wasn't even anywhere within range. And nobody pointed him to potential mold exposure. And otherwise he would have had this brain surgery that maybe wasn't even needed. That's so scary. In the end, I don't know the whole result of the story, but in the end he was able to leave the moldy situation and completely heal. And it's just devastating to know that that's not like an isolated story. There's so many children that have been sick by living in a home that is giving them some toxic exposure. So it is such a big issue. It's not widely known yet. New construction is not always the answer. Like, right. You know, these mass production homes, like, they're not always the answer too. So really making it a priority to ensure where you're living is a place where you can thrive and heal and feel safe, and not one that's going to be a big financial burden and potentially be making somebody in your family really sick.
Yeah. For sure. That's actually how I found out that I had like essentially mold poisoning is I did an organic acids test and my mold levels were off the charts as well. Oh. And that's when I was really sick. And so when we had purchased our next home and I found the mold, I think people thought I was dramatic, but like, I was like, I have to sell this home. Like, you guys don't understand. Like, I almost like lost my life. Like, it's not dramatic of me to want to sell this home or fix it. So we had to fix it legally to sell it. But I think people don't realize how much mold can affect you until you have like lived in it.
Yeah. And those are the stories that like should be shared with your builder. Mm-hmm. Like building a home is such like it should be such like an intimate part of your journey. Like you are allowing and entrusting this builder to build you a safe home and sharing your story so that, you know, it doesn't feel like this, you know, this lady just wants me to like do all these extra things just because, mm-hmm. but sharing that story of like why it's so important or, you know, hearing so many devastating stories of like children being severely sick. Mm-hmm. Like a healthy home is to many families just a non-negotiable, and explaining that to the builder and sharing a piece of that I think will be really important during your build process too.
For sure. I already know when Jordan and I get off of this podcast, she's calling me and saying I have to build because they were gonna buy, and now she's definitely gonna be like I have to build now.
No, not everyone can build. I'm here in California. Building a new construction home would financially be such a big undertaking. And there's also just no land here. But I just caution, like, if you're going to start down that path of buying a home or building, evaluate your budget. Like, let's just take a number for like, you're going to have $1 million budget. And in some cases, people are like, should I buy a home and renovate it? Because that can be more cost effective. And my response is like, be ready, like get ready. Because if you're going to be purchasing a home saying, okay, I'm going to buy a home and I'm just going to like gut the bathrooms so that I can like make sure those are healthy, that's likely not it. Like, is the exterior leaking? Are any of the windows leaking? Does the roof? Renovating an existing home can be like, it's called referred to as like scope creep. You can get in there and think, I've got the budget, I'm gonna do the bathrooms. You get in there, discover all the windows are leaking, the roof's leaking, the flooring, the this, the that. Like, you do not know truly what you are getting into when purchasing an existing home. That's not to say you have to gut every home you're gonna get, but like potentially be prepared for that if like your goal is to have this like really dialed in healthy home, because you're also buying someone else's like mechanical system that has their like skin cells, pet dander, potentially smoke. Like, you just don't know what you're getting with someone else's home. So if possible, yes, building is a great route.
Well, thank you so much. This was a really informative episode, and I think everybody will walk away just going, oh wow, I need to move. But
No.
Can you tell everybody where they can find you and reach out to you?
Yeah. So I have the capacity to handle one platform and that's it. So I am predominantly just on Instagram. I am Holistic Homes by Christine. And that is where you can find me. I take on like limited, like one-on-one consulting because it's a pretty big deep dive. And I do have like programs from time to time, but really I'm a big advocate that you just have to have some sort of support, like having a physical presence, even if it's virtually during your project to advocate for you. So That is what we do. And I just love seeing successful projects. So Instagram, Holistic Homes by Christine.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. This was amazing. Guys, if you are in the business of building home, you have to hire Christine. It was the best money I have ever spent. I'm not kidding.
Awesome. Thank you so much to both of you.
Yeah, thank you.